I do ask that you continue to be in prayer for me and Brother Marty. For the things that might be said unto God's dear little children. And that's what this Word of God is directed to, His little children. We just sang a little song that reminded me of how little we are before the Lord. There's a psalm, that there's a verse in it that says that, "Lead me to the rock that's higher than I." And when we come to that perspective in our experience of grace, then we're in a good place to be. That we might know that we can look up to someone that is greater than us. And that we can look to His grace and mercy that not only sustains us in this life, but as He mentioned earlier, in that eternal life to come. In our experiences here, this life that we go through a lot of great deal of trials and tribulations, but yet we also have a great deal of blessings that we receive along the way. And I hope and pray that this meeting this morning would be one of those little blessings, and that we might continue to seek the Lord, that He might continue His blessings upon us. And I know that we've been blessed with a good transportation, good homes, and plenty of good food to eat, but that's just a small part of what we can really consider those spiritual blessings that are in heaven. I believe they're considered treasures that we store. That we see these things that are where no thief could steal, where the elements of the world would rot it or decay it or cause it to blemish or rust. These things are spiritual in matter and completely otherworldly considering the world that we perceive now. You can look in your closets and see all the clothes you have, and sometimes you might have some old clothes that might have a hole or two in it, or maybe perhaps some of your tools that you keep in your shed that might have a little rust on them. But the things that we have to endure that are spiritual, they don't go through those kind of troubling things to mar them. And that gives us a perspective that we can look at the things that we have in a natural way, and we have a great comparison to those spiritual blessings that we have from on high. Because we know all our spiritual blessings come from God, and all spiritual gifts come from God. And if you'd like to turn with me a little bit of our time this morning before I move on out of the way to 1 Peter in chapter 2. 1 Peter chapter 2. You know, Peter was one of the pillars of the church. The Apostle Paul considered him as such. But Peter did have an outreach to the Gentiles also, as we have read in Acts, about the time that he had a vision, or it was on the housetop, and God blessed him to see that what he had cleansed, don't call common. Because God cleansed those things that pertain to God's purpose. You know, at the time, Gentiles were considered untouchables. They were considered to be dogs. They were not to be associated with by the Jewish community. But I remember there's some scripture in the Old Testament that said about strangers. And there's exceptions in the scripture in the Old Testament about Gentiles who have received blessings from God. I remember there was a captain of Syria, there was Naaman, that had leprosy. And it just so happened that he had a housemaid that knew of a prophet in Israel. His name was Elisha. And they just commanded him to go wash him seven times in the River Jordan. Now, you know, the River Jordan is pretty much downstream of all the other rivers that flow from the mountains. And he considered the other rivers up north in his land were much cleaner and purer. What's wrong with these rivers? But just to satisfy what was said, he went ahead and did it. And you know, he was cleansed. You know, when we obey God in this life and suffer to do his will, you know, we are so prone to sin, but yet we're to suffer to do his will. And that means it takes a great deal of sacrifice on our part to put aside these things that weigh us down, that ensnare us, that we might do and obey God's purpose and his will, and we might receive a blessing on top of it. And brother told me about some members that were soon to be baptized here. That's a answer of a good conscience toward God. It said that it washed away your sins, but yet it's a clearing of your conscience. It relieves a burden for a little child of God to do so. Peter said it didn't put away any filth. But it sure is an answer of a good conscience toward God. It follows your Lord and Savior in his footsteps, who was also baptized. And John the Baptist looked at him and looked at a man whose shoe latches he's not worthy to unloose, yet he is coming unto him. He's already proclaimed him to be the Son of God, the Lamb of God, to take away the sin of the world. But he looked upon him as somebody that, I'm in need of being baptized of thee. And Jesus said, suffer to be so now. It becometh us to fulfill all righteousness. And I think it's inclusive of the Godhead, also is his children, to fulfill the righteousness of God. But what brought me to the mind of this scripture in 1 Peter chapter 2 is we got a little grandbaby. He's a preemie. And for about a month, he's been fed with a little feeding tube into his tummy. And he's been fed mother's milk and with some little vitamins and stuff, nutrients to help him to grow. But he just learned to take a bottle yesterday. Praise God for that. That's to me his desire to live. You know, it takes life to have a desire to eat. It takes life to be able to see. It takes life to be able to hear. I'm sure he can hear every word we say because he startles around a little bit. I'm sure that he can see us. And he most certainly has felt our touch. Because I touched his little foot a week ago and it tickled him. He moved his foot real fast. But he has, by being born into this world, has natural senses. And there's five of them. I believe that you have a sight, you have a hearing, you have a smell, you have a touch, and you have a taste. I know the scripture says over there in John chapter 5 says to this extent, the hour is coming now is that the dead shall hear the voice of the Son of God, and they that hear shall live. Well, first thing, you have to have life to be able to hear. I think in Acts chapter 17, it said, go unto the Lord if you happily feel after him. You have to feel after him if you have, you got to have a desire. You have to have that attachment to God to go after him first. And that's the evidence of the new birth. When we see the evidence of the natural birth, and old man Nicodemus knew all about that. but he couldn't understand fully the understanding of being born again. But I'm sure that if you have been born again, then you have a new life. You know, it says over there in the Corinthian letter, in chapter 5 of 2 Corinthians, said, if any man be in Christ, he's a new creature. Old things are passed away. Behold, all things become new. So you have a new nature. The old nature still remains until the day you die, but yet you have a new nature that can put it into subjection while you live, because your new nature has a new desire. You have a new desire to love the things you once hated, and now have that new desire to hate the things that you once loved in this life. And you most certainly, being born again, you don't feel comfortable in certain situations that maybe at one time, and I'm talking from some degree. Some people might have had an enjoyment of one thing, but yet through the new birth and sometime in their life between conception and before they leave this world, that they loved certain things before, and they certainly detested the things they now love. So it's an evidence of the new birth that you have these senses. You can go back and read the entire book of the Song of Solomon. It talks about all the senses that the one love letter to a loved one, that they heard his voice. I heard my beloved say. And you could smell his odors from him, like the natural odors of the flowers, and that you could see him through a lattice work, that you might know his presence is there. That's the way a child of God experiences grace, when they have the understanding that there is a Savior in heaven. And we don't perfectly see through with perfect 20/20 vision the things of God, but yet we see through a glass darkly, like the apostle says. We only know in part, and we only see in part. So therefore, we don't have the 100% there, but we have something that we can live by here, which is faith and hope that fade away in reality when we're in the presence of God. But yet, while we live here, we have something that we can live by. But there's another gift that remains, that's charity. And I've always been told that charity, what is charity is, is love in action. It's not just love that's held within. It's not love in word only, but it's also in deed. So charity abideth forever. That sense of love that we have felt, the love of God in our heart, will last for on and on, for eternity. It'll never go depart from us. One thing we won't have to depend on up in heaven is faith, because we're believing in something we've never seen physically, but yet we know exists. The scripture says over there in the first chapter of Hebrews, it says, but we see Jesus. How do we see him? Through the eye of faith. How have we heard our beloved call? It's through the ear of faith. How we feel after him, but by the experience of grace that's within us. We have these senses that we know. And there's the smell of his presence there, the sweetness of God, we have smelled that. But even though there's another sense that we have received by the new birth, and that's the sense of taste. When baby Everett was given that bottle the other day, they know how the nurses in the neonatal unit know exactly how much the doctor prescribes, how much he's going to eat at one point. Because he's got a little developing tummy, so it just can't hold like a grown-up. But when they had to take the bottle away from him, he fussed. Why? Because he wanted it back. That's why. It was good to him. He had that taste now. You know, for all the time that he was being fed, they were just putting it a little bit on a little pasty just to get him the little taste. Because he was too underdeveloped to take it. Because he was born about 2.5 months early. He was 2.5 pounds when he was born. Tiny, little bitty thing. He's growing a little bit. He's over the 3 pound mark, almost 3.5 pounds. So he's growing. In a month's time, that's a blessing to see that. I'm glad. But Peter says in verse 1, wherefore laying aside, we got to do something, brother and sister, in order to enjoy the blessings of God. We got to lay aside something. And that's what it says over there in Hebrews chapter 12. Lay aside. Wherefore laying aside all malice and guile, all guile and hypocrisies and envies and all evil speakings. So there's a lot of things we need to put out of our mind and out of our verbality, a way of speaking, in the way of our natural. You know, I'll tell you, a child of God can be tempted of sin, and it's easy to make him mad and make him upset, but yet we still have something within us that gives us a great deal of control. But we have that power within us to lay aside something. And somebody that's not born again cannot have that power to lay aside. They do according to things by nature. You can read that over there in Ephesians chapter 1. That we're like the children of wrath. We have the same nature. But by the quickening Spirit of God, we have been relieved of that inability to lay aside something, and now we have the ability to put it away. And put it down under our feet. Walk on. But if we're to lay aside something, then we're to do this. As newborn babes, desire the sincere milk of the word. Well, see, once you know something about the sincere milk of the word, it benefits us. And this is the way it benefits us, that ye may grow thereby. Growing and maturing as a child of God. And little Everett, he's just starting to grow. The natural milk is giving him strength and it's giving him ability to grow. And that's what God, when he quickens you and borns you of the Spirit of God, he didn't born again as an adult. He borns again a babe in Christ. And I tell you what, babes in Christ need nurturing. And Brother Marty, he's been nurturing a lot of babes in Christ for many years. And many, many years before I even came to the church, he'd been speaking to God's people and nurturing them. And that, I don't think there's not many lives have never been touched by Brother Marty. Brother Marty's been in this area for a long time, and he's nurtured my children. They love them to death. But you know, there's other preachers out there that nurture others. And we pray for those that are down in health. But we also pray that if the Lord's will, to bring some in to help nurture his children. Now the condition is the next verse. If so be ye have tasted that the Lord is gracious. See, that's where it takes the desire, is that you have to have life to desire the sincere milk. And if you have tasted that the Lord is gracious, that the Lord's grace has been upon you, that the love of God is shed abroad in your hearts, once you taste that milk, you just don't want to put it down. Once you've tasted and the blessing of the Word of God, not only the preached Word, the written Word, also the studied Word, the Word that you read, but also the spiritual Word of God that dwells within your heart, which is the Lord Jesus Christ. Because Jesus is the Word. It says over there in John chapter 1 and 1, in the beginning was the Word. The Word was with God. The Word was God. The same was in the beginning with God. All things were made by Him. And without him was not anything made that was made. So everything that we see in this natural world, even ourselves, we give Jesus Christ all credit. And every time somebody is born again of the Spirit of God, we cannot pat any man on the back for it. We can't pat ourselves on the back for it, but we can give all the glory and credit to Jesus Christ, our Lord. I'm going to turn it over to Brother Marty, let him close out the time. I didn't mean to come here to preach to y'all this morning, but Brother Marty met me at the door, this front door this morning, and said, "Are you ready to preach?" And I said, "I don't know. But if I do, give God the credit, give God the glory, and continue to pray for Brother Marty as he comes up to speak to us the final moments of our time. God bless."